Thanks for checking out the VU Church podcast today. If this is your first time listening in with us, we want you to know that you are loved. Wherever you're joining us from, we hope that this message encourages you. Now, here's Pastor Rich Wilkerson.
It's Exodus chapter 25, verse 8 says this. It says, "Then have them make a sanctuary for me, and I will dwell." Everyone say dwell. "And I will dwell among them. Make this tabernacle," everyone say tabernacle, "and all its furnishings exactly like the pattern I will show you." Now I'm skipping down to verse 22 in the same chapter. "There," this is God speaking, "I will meet with you, and from above the mercy seat, from between the two cherubim that are on the ark of the testimony, I will speak with you about all that I will give you in commandment for the people of Israel." And today, as we begin this collection of talks entitled Church, It's a Group Project, I want this first installment, this first message, pretty simple titled, it's this. It's just simply, "United We Stand." United We Stand. And let's pray together. Let's believe that as we study God's word, he's going to speak to us. Lord, we thank you so much for bringing us to your house. Today, Lord, we pause right now and we open up our hearts that you might speak clearly to us. God, may we never be the same. Give us a new revelation of what you're doing on the earth and how we play a part. We honor you today, we praise you. And if you believe it, come on, all of God's people said? Amen. All of God's people said? Amen. Come on, 9:15 service, make a little bit of noise today. I was thinking this week as we began, or as we're beginning and planning out this collection of talks. Now, I'm a church guy. How many of you out there, you were raised in church? Just wave at me so I know. Okay, perfect. A lot of people in the 915. This is a very spiritual crowd. But I was raised in church. And what I've learned about church, and hopefully you've learned this, is that there is no such thing as a perfect church. The reason why there's no such thing as a perfect church is because the church is people. And how many know there's no such thing as perfect people? And so if you're looking for a perfect church, that's going to mean that there's no people in that church. And really what we have to come to terms with as believers is that we have to be people that are willing to lean in to God's plan, which is the church. And we have to bring the best version of ourselves that we might see something awesome happen on the earth. And I was thinking this week about so many memories in my life being a part of church. The church has shaped me. At different seasons in my life, I wasn't always grateful or thankful, but now at 33 years of age, as I look back over my life, I'm so thankful that I had parents that raised me in God's house, that planted me in God's house. It created a positive trajectory for my life. And here's what I know today. I know that today that VU Church is a part of the answer, but it's not the only answer. I really believe that you and I, if I have an objective over the next 3 weeks, it's that you might catch a deeper revelation of what this thing called church is. Because many of us, we still think that church is just a Sunday morning gathering or a Sunday morning program. Some music and a message by Rich, that's my church for the week. But nothing could be further from the church, from the truth. The church really is the gathering of God's people, and we inhabit the earth, and we are the voice of God on the earth, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, come on, even Sunday. We're not called to do church on Sunday. We're called to be the church every day of the week. And here's sort of a premise or a statement that we are working with for the next 3 weeks as all three churches are really talking. And this is really the statement. I want you to get this down in your notes today. Is that the devil is not afraid of a big church. He is afraid of a united church. So here at VU Church, you need to know that we have a firm conviction that we are part of the church of Jesus Christ. I love VU Church. I'm all about VU Church. I'm into VU Church. But I have a firm conviction and I have a revelation that in order for Miami to be turned upside down, it's not just going to happen through VU Church, but it's going to be every single church coming together, uniting and saying, let's be the expression of God on the earth. Come on, 915, if you believe it today. And I wanted to kick this collection off by maybe teaching and sharing a little bit of some stuff that maybe you didn't ever know about. And I wanted to go back to the Old Testament, and I wanted to show you what is really one of the first organized churches that we have in the Old Testament. And really, it's in the book of Exodus, and it's called the Tabernacle. Everyone say the Tabernacle. Now, the Tabernacle shows up in the wilderness. Remember the people of God, the Israelites, they are in captivity in Egypt. Remember Moses shows up and he goes to Pharaoh and he says, hey, Pharaoh, let my people go. And then he sends the people out and they do the Egyptian dance, walking out of there. And then they find themselves, what, going through the Red Sea. Remember that story where God parts the waters? They go through the Red Sea. They go into the desert. And they're headed to the Promised Land, but because of a whole lot of different reasons, primarily because they did not believe in God's promise, they found themselves 40 years delayed in the wilderness. And it's there in the wilderness, in fact, 1 year after they passed through the Red Sea, that God, he devises this thing called the Tabernacle. Now, just to help you understand for a second, the Tabernacle, it simply means this. It means a place of meeting or tent of meeting. So it's a meeting place where God was going to meet with his people, or another word would be where God would dwell. And this was a system that God created. And really, in the Old Testament, it was the first organized church. It was a place of worship. It was a place where the people would connect with God. And I wanted to bring a little picture for you so you could understand what the Tabernacle looked like. This is a good photo of the Tabernacle. Now, the Tabernacle was about 75 feet wide and about 150 feet long. Now, what's cool about the Tabernacle, I love this, is that it was portable. I mean, everywhere they went, church was mobile. They had to load in, and they had to load out. The Tabernacle reminds me of VU Church. I think VU Church is biblical. But what I love about the Tabernacle, although we don't have a Tabernacle now, we'll explain that a little bit today. What I love about the Tabernacle is that it took all the Israelites' hands to put it together. All of them had to come together. They all had to pitch in. They all had to play a part. They all had a role, and they all had to set it up together. I think from the very beginning, God was trying to bring us together. He was saying, if you're going to worship me, and if you're going to come together, it's going to require every hand. It's going to require every part. All of you will play a role in building my house. See, really, as you study the New Testament, what you'll find out is that the church, it is the body of Christ. Now, a body, Christ is the head. The body, what that means is that means that all of us are members of the body. Did you know that if you're a part of VU Church, you play a part of his body? You're a member. You have a function. You have a purpose. You're supposed to be functioning. You're supposed to be playing your part. Now, I know right off the bat, some of you, like, you're here today and you've been serving in church for a while, and some of you, like, if you're like me, you know, sometimes people, even in church, this is crazy, even in church can be difficult, right? I don't want to go too hard on this, but come on, even Christians sometimes can be a little challenging, right? Every once in a while, a Christian will come up to me and it's like, yo, Pastor Rich, will you pray for me, man? Everybody at my office, they hate me because I'm a Christian. I'm like, is that because you're a Christian or? Exactly, yeah, so. Sometimes I know we look around, it's like, what part of the body are you, you know? Like, maybe you're the appendix, right? We're all waiting for you to explode, you know? Like, but as believers, what our role and responsibility is to discover what part we play, and then we're supposed to play it to the best of our ability. See, I think so many churches oftentimes are suffering, not because there's not people in the house, but rather because people are not functioning as a part of the body. Many of you, even here today, right now, you still have this idea going in your mind like, yo, I don't think it's really my responsibility to serve at church. That's for other people. You would be wrong. You have a part to play. If you're a part of this house, you have a part to play. Welcome to Growth Track Step 4, 11 a.m. and 6 p.m. Get on team, play your part. It's a group project. Others of you, you're like, yo, like, I don't think I have a part to play. Like, it's not a big deal if I play my part. I look at VU Church, they've got a lot of hands, they're giving out money, they're serving the community, they don't really need me. You would be wrong. Because you're not serving because you're needed, And you're not serving because you're looking for a reward. You are serving that we might be a healthy body, that we might fulfill our function in the earth. We're serving because Christ first served us. Come on, anybody thankful for Jesus who served you? We all have a part to play. And when I go back to the very first tabernacle, the place where God decided to meet with his people, it's there that I discovered that they all pitched in. They all gave offering. They all set it up. And it reminds me of VU Church, that all of us together, when we're united, we can do so much more. Now, as you study the book of Exodus, and I really am hoping that maybe in 2018, maybe we'll wait for 2019, but I really want to teach on the tabernacle because there's some incredible things. But as you read about the tabernacle, the dwelling of God, this mobile church, if you will, what you'll see is that in it, God has very, very big, or I should say, very, very specific details about the tabernacle, things that are in the tabernacle. He says to Moses, I want you to do all the things. There's a pattern. I want to show you all of these things. Build these things specifically detailed. It's always important to know that you serve a God who's all about the details. Why? Because excellence is in the details. I'm thankful for a God who made every one of us unique. None of us have the same thumbprint. We all have a unique thumbprint that we might leave a unique imprint on this earth. There's no blade of grass that's the same. There's no snowflake that's the same. God is into details. But as you start to study Exodus, sometimes you can start to go through this stuff, and we don't have time to go through all of them, but it's kind of like, this is weird stuff, God. Like, why do you care about that object, and why do you have that thing in your house, and why did you want that in the tabernacle? And I think a better way to think of it is this. Recently, about 4 weeks ago, I moved out of my apartment. How many know moving is, that's a challenge, right? You ever learn that anybody who shows up to help you move, that's a real friend right there? Right? Like, I don't care. Like, you're here to help me move? All right, we're gonna do life together for a long time. But I moved out of my apartment. It's a little bittersweet because really this church began in that apartment. But I was going back to my apartment the first day I walked into it. Some of you, you've done this before. And the first day I walked into my apartment when it was empty, it was a blank slate, that there were so many things about the apartment that just seemed cold. It seemed not like me. The walls were a color I did not like. It was empty. It was cold. Yet quickly, as my wife and I moved into the apartment, we started to decorate. We started to put things into the apartment. So much so that I believe that if you would have ever walked into my apartment, there was many things that right off the bat, without us ever opening our mouth, you would have learned about Don Cherie and I. You would have seen that we love our family, praise God. There's photos of our family on the wall. There's photos of our family in different areas. You would have seen quickly what type of music we like, because I got a big record player, shout out, vintage, okay? Real hipster. I got a record player with all sorts of different music. You would have perused the house and seen all the books that I'm reading, the books that I love, and quickly you would have said, oh, that's some of his interest. Oh, that's what Don Cherie likes. If you would have ever come to a party, you would see quickly that we love hosting people and that we're into the details and that we want it lit right and we want it designed right. What am I saying? I'm saying that my house would communicate who I am. And it's the same thing as we go back to the Old Testament tabernacle. As you look at some of these things that appear to be obscure or abstract or challenging or bizarre, really what's happening is there's so much there to learn about who your God is. I think the first thing that I love that we see about God's house, and I want to pull out a couple of these things regarding the tabernacle, is the first thing that we see about God's house is that God is holy. Now, this is a truth that does not change. How many know that your God is the same yesterday, today, and forever? In a changing world, aren't you thankful for a God who is unchanging? Come on, let's give God praise right now that he's with us. But quickly, as you start going through the tabernacle and you see all the objects that are in the tabernacle, what you'll find out is that God is holy. Now, sometimes this word holy, it's like an intimidating kind of word. Like, what does that mean? It's so churchy. But this is simply what holy means. Holy simply means set apart. That your God is set apart. Your God is unlike any other thing in creation. He sits above creation. He's set apart from creation. He's a good God, and he is God. God all by himself. He is holy, and we must notice this, even in 2017, that we serve a holy, set apart God. In fact, I love it because as I was studying the tabernacle, what you'll find that's very interesting about the tabernacle is that the tabernacle was set up in the center of camp. In fact, I want to show you the picture. When they would set the tabernacle up, they're mobile, they're in the wilderness, they're wandering. In fact, the tabernacle goes from about 1 year after the Red Sea to 400 years until Solomon builds the temple. The tabernacle was the beginning blueprints of what the temple should look like. Today, praise God for Jesus, we don't have to go to a temple. We'll talk about that here in a moment, but rather through Jesus, we can always connect with God. Amen? But look at this for a second. I want you to see how the camp was set up because this gives us significance for our church right now. The way the tabernacle was set up was it was built in the center of camp, and then all of the tribes of Israel, all 12 tribes, they would build their tents around the tabernacle. What is it showing us? It's showing us that God belongs in the center. That our lives should be centered around God. That God is at the center of it all. Center of your home, center of our church, center of our lives. Truth of the matter is, for VU Church to be a healthy church, for us to fulfill our purpose, for us to be a united church, Jesus has to be at the center of it all. So we sing about Jesus. We preach about Jesus. We serve for Jesus. This week in small groups at VU Cruz, you'll talk about Jesus. And why is it? It's because we are the church, we are the new tabernacle, and just like they gathered around God, we gather around Jesus. It's really cool. I love it how Paul says it in Ephesians. This is the Message version. This is a good scripture for all of us. Look at this. The church, that's you and me, that you see, is not peripheral to the world. Meaning the church is not on the outside, but the world is peripheral to the church. Meaning the church of Jesus Christ, it's at the center and the world is around Jesus. The church is Christ's body in which he speaks and acts, by which he fills everything with his presence. As you start walking through the tabernacle, you find that your God is holy and that he is set apart and our lives should be wrapped around him. Many of us, we've found at times when we don't make Jesus the center of our life, how our life starts to fall apart. As you start going through the tabernacle, there's all these different objects. And once again, we don't have time to go through all of them, but I wanted to pull out a couple of them. And I wanted to show you the significance, why I think they matter for us today and how Jesus has fulfilled them. And as you walk into the tabernacle courtyard, the first thing that you would see inside the tabernacle courtyard is the brazen altar. I got a photo of the brazen altar. Now, the brazen altar is about 7.5 feet wide. It's a big square, and it's about 4.5 feet tall. Now, you say, what does the brazen altar represent? It represents, once again, that you need to know that God is holy. For when you walk in to the courtyard, the first thing that you see right there is this altar where blood sacrifices were made. Ultimately, it's telling you and I that you cannot get to God's presence and you cannot get to God without sacrifice. And so according to the law, once again, we believe in grace in the new covenant, the law was what? An eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. That you get what you deserve. Sometimes Christians make me laugh because sometimes they don't even realize it, but they're going backwards back into the law. Many times we go, why is he not getting what he deserves? You don't ever want to say that. Why? Because you don't want what you deserve. What we deserve is punishment. What we deserve is that we would deserve death because God is holy. We cannot connect to God. So in the Old Testament, right when they walked in the courtyard, right there was a brazen altar where they made blood sacrifices. And the law said that blood must be shed to what? To cover your sins. I think it's important for us to see because the brazen altar, it was a decoration in God's house, but it was trying to communicate to you and I that God is holy. And us knowing that God is holy still matters right now, today. Now, how many of you know that the brazen altar was only a temporary solution to sin? I love it because Jesus Christ, he came and he turned the brazen altar into an old rugged cross. And 2,000 years ago, he made the one sacrifice once and for all. He is the Lamb of God that was slain since the foundations of the universe. And his blood once and for all washes us clean. Listen to me. Jesus doesn't just cover you, our sins temporarily. He takes away your sins eternally. And today in 2017, we can celebrate because we don't need a brazen altar. There was a cross, and at the cross, everything was fulfilled. Come on, somebody give God praise for Jesus. Look at what Hebrews chapter 7 says. This is beautiful. Unlike the other high priests, Jesus does not need to offer sacrifices day after day, first for his own sins and then for the sins of the people. He sacrificed for their sins once and for all when he offered himself. Jesus brought an eternal solution. And in the same way the tabernacle had the altar, the brazen altar, you and I today under the new covenant, we have the cross of Jesus Christ. Also inside that tabernacle showing God's holiness was as you moved into the tabernacle, as you got past the brazen altar, as you got past the laver that was there, it was a basin where they would wash, you would come up to this tent, and this tent was called the Holy Place. I brought a picture of it. I just want you to see this. And the Holy Place was 30 feet long, 15 feet wide, and 15 feet high. And inside the Holy Place, this is essentially where God's presence would dwell. And the first 15 feet inside was where priests, the Levite camp, would create different types of rituals. They had the altar of showbread, the table of showbread. They had the golden lampstand. All of these things, they represented things that Jesus fulfilled. Yet the thing that I want you to catch for a minute was that as you went further into the holy place, there towards the back was a room called the Holiest of Holies. And the Holiest of Holies had a massive embroidered veil. It was a thick veil. And beyond this veil was the Ark of the Covenant. And it's in the Holiest of Holies under the law that God's presence would dwell, that God would meet with people. Now, the Holiest of Holies was quite complicated because only one time a year could only the high priest go into the Holiest of Holies. He would go in there on the Day of Atonement to pray for and to speak out on our behalf that our sins would be covered. Now, as you read the Old Testament, what you'll find out is that if this guy made any type of mistake, if he made one thing that was wrong, as he entered into the Holiest of Holies, because God is holy and God is perfect, and there were set precautions and he was set apart and we're sinful people, if this high priest did not follow every guideline right, as he entered into the Holiest of Holies, he would die. But I want you to get the picture that God's presence was separated by a veil. God is holy, we are not. Yet what's so cool is that when Jesus Christ was on the cross, look at what happens in Matthew 27. This is good news for you and I. And when Jesus had cried out again in a loud voice, he gave up his spirit. Here we go. And at that moment, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. The earth shook and the rocks split. You say, Rich, what happened? The moment that Jesus died and declared it is finished was the moment that the veil was torn and God's presence got out. Oh, I want to encourage you today. We don't need some man to get to God's presence. We don't only access God's presence one day out of the year, but rather today as the church of Jesus Christ, you can enter into God's presence every single day. The veil has been torn. His presence has gotten out. Somebody give God a shout of praise. Because of Jesus, we now have access to God's presence. The veil was torn, and today, through the church of Jesus Christ, every single day of the week, we have access to God's holiness. And as you tour through the tabernacle, I think two things that are really communicated that we must hear even in 2017 is that God is holy. His house is communicating that. And I really believe that VU Church, our house, it should communicate that God is set apart, that you and I, as living stones, as the body of Christ, guess what? You and I, we should be set apart. We should understand that God loves us so much the way that we are, but he loves us way too much to let us stay the way that we are. That the world should look upon your life and something should be different on your life because you are a part of the church of Jesus Christ. You are the new tabernacle. First thing we see is that God is holy, but secondly, what you'll discover as you walk through the tabernacle is you'll find out that God is merciful. This is so important. Because yes, it is true that all the tribes camped around God and God was at the center, but please, please understand that something you see about God that is unchanging all the way back in the Old Testament, and it's this, it's that God is merciful, the very fact that God camps with his people. This is so different from all other types of gods, that our God wants to be near. Our God is close. He's not distant. He's not disengaged. He's not up in heaven with his arms crossed like, hey, have at it. No. When the Israelites were in the wilderness, when they were disobedient, God was still in their camp and his presence was with them. This is showing the mercy of a holy God that he wants to do life with us. God's not just present, he's engaged. The psalmist will even say to us that God, he watches us while we sleep. That's borderline stalkerish. You ever wake up in the middle of the night and your husband, your wife is just staring at you? You're like, whoa, you know? Sometimes I'll wake up and Don, she's just like, I was watching you sleep. I was like, stop doing that. I was praying for you. I was like, pray in the day, you know? But what is David communicating? David's communicating that our God is engaged with our lives. And if you hear anything today, please understand that God's not distant. He's not far away. But the tabernacle shows us that he's a merciful God who camps with his people. Look at what Psalm says, 34 verse 18. This is beautiful. The Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. This past week, we launched VU Cruise. 70 crews were meeting, small groups, people doing life, talking Jesus, talking their testimonies, building their faith. And I went to a crew. I go to my crew on Monday night, but I went to another crew to check it out on Thursday just to support. And as I was there, I was so moved. I was so moved as I watched the church come together. And I watch as God poured out his mercy on people. Deborah, who's a part of our church, she is living in the States for the first time for the past year, and she's from Puerto Rico. And there in our VU crew, she opened up and began to share her story that this past week after the hurricane hit Puerto Rico, that she still has not talked yet with any of her family members or any of her friends in Puerto Rico. And she opened up. She spoke in faith, but obviously you can imagine the fear, the worry, the challenge, the anxiety. Yet I want to say to Deborah and I want to say to all of us that when we feel like we are all alone and when we feel like God is nowhere to be found, go back to the tabernacle and remember that your God, he's close to you. He camps with you. You're never alone. Here's what's amazing. What's amazing is that as you made your way into the Holiest of Holies, what was in the Holiest of Holies was the Ark of the Covenant. Now, I brought a picture of this, and some of you, you're like, this is a weird Sunday. You're showing pictures? Yeah, exactly. It's good for you, because I want you to see Jesus in all of this. And the Ark of the Covenant was the very thing that was carrying the presence of God. Inside the Ark of the Covenant were incredible things like the Ten Commandments, Aaron's rod. There's beautiful objects inside. Once again, they all represent something. Yet what you'll find in Exodus, as we read it already today, is God says, build me a sanctuary, build me a tabernacle, do it all according with the details specifically, load in, like I specifically am telling you to load in, but there in the Holiest of Holies, place the Ark of the Covenant. And he says, in between the two cherubim is the mercy seat, and that's where I will meet with you. Now, cherubim, that's another weird word. I don't want to freak people out today, but it was two types of angels. So you see on the Ark of the Covenant, two angels, and in between the two angels is what is known as the mercy seat. And this is where God would meet with the priest. I want you to catch the heart of this, because notice, when God came to meet with his people, he did not meet with his people at the judgment seat. He did not meet with his people at the accusation seat. He didn't meet with his people at the critical seat. No, he meets with his people from the beginning of time at the mercy seat. Come on, anybody thankful for the grace of God, the mercy of God? God is holy, but he's also merciful. And he loves us, and he wants to meet with us, and he meets with us at the mercy seat. Isn't it amazing as you read John chapter 20? John chapter 20 is the third day after the cross. And there, a woman by the name of Mary Magdalene, who many believe was a prostitute who had seven demons cast out of her, she makes her way to the tomb. And when she gets to the tomb in John chapter 20, the stone has been rolled away, and she looks into the tomb, and she begins to weep. Why? Because as she looks in the tomb, Jesus is not there. Yet instead, the Bible says what? That there are two angels seated. And in between the two angels were the grave clothes of Jesus. What does it say to you and I? Is it says to you and I that Jesus Christ, after the resurrection, the mercy seat was unlocked. After the resurrection, mercy got out. After the resurrection, mercy is available to any and everyone through Jesus Christ. Mercy is on the run. Grace is on the run. Look at what John chapter 1 says. This is beautiful. I just want you to write this down today. John chapter 1, here we go. The Word, that's Jesus, became flesh and made his, everyone say this word, dwelling. Dwelling in the Old Testament is the same word as tabernacle. Jesus became flesh and made his tabernacle, his dwelling among us. Here we go. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son. Here we go. Who came from the Father full of what? Grace and truth. Full of mercy and holiness. Full of grace and truth. Jesus came as the brand new tabernacle. Jesus came and said, I've come to dwell among you. No longer do you need rituals. No longer do you need customs. No longer do you need to go through all of these things. Jesus fulfilled the brazen altar. Jesus tore the veil. Jesus unleashed the mercy seat, and it's available to all of us. And today, you and I, we are the church. And you say, what should we be united in? We should be united in making Jesus the center of this house. And we should be united in letting the world know that we are a holy people, set apart, called out of darkness, called out of sin, walking in a new rhythm, walking according to the rhythm of grace. And we should be loud about the mercy of God, that his grace is sufficient and everyone can have access to it. Our church needs to stand united, and we need to be a place that says we are holy and we are full of mercy. We are holy and we are full of grace. We've got truth, but we got grace. And the only way to walk into truth is through the grace of God. Come on, somebody, give God a big shout of praise. Let's unite around this. That this is the church. And the tabernacle, although it is no longer needed, praise God, it still shows us who Jesus is. Today, you and I, we get to represent Jesus to a lost and dying world. And it's a group project. It's all of us playing our part. And today, I implore you, if you love this house, get on board. If you love what God is doing, you are to be a member of this place. You're a part of his body. And you are to unite all of us around the name of Jesus, and all of us, because of his grace, we can walk in holiness. Exodus 33, I'm gonna close. Next week, I'm gonna talk from the thought that divided we fall. And I'm gonna use an Old Testament scripture. I wanna show you what happens when division sets in. But I want you to see this in Exodus 33. You can write it down, you can look at it later on. I'm gonna teach a little bit throughout this collection of talks. I'm gonna try to preach. Probably by 8 p.m. I'll be shouting a whole lot more, but for you, I'm just gonna teach it. Got a suit on today, very serious in here, okay? Exodus 33, we see that Moses goes up to receive the law from God, the Ten Commandments. And while they're waiting, they start to get distracted. And they forget who took them out of Egypt. They forget who parted the Red Sea. They forget who they are, that they're called out. And the Bible says that they want to have an object to worship. They don't want just this invisible God. They don't just want his presence. They want something physical that they can worship. So the Bible says that they pretty much wear Aaron out and they build a golden calf. And there they begin to worship a golden calf. And when Moses comes back down from the mountain, God is so upset, this is under the law now, once again, but God is so upset that the Bible says that he tells Moses to go and pitch a tent, tabernacle, outside the camp. And the Bible says that disease and plagues fell on the people of Israel. In order for them to access God's presence, they had to leave the camp and go to the place where Moses is. Now, I understand this is Old Testament under the law, but I want you to see the nature and the character of God. Because here's what I've learned. I've learned that distraction leads to division. I don't want us to be a church that's distracted. What are we rallying around? What are we all about? What's the purpose? Is this the cool thing in town Sunday morning? Fun program, cool worship leaders, good-looking people, good message, positive for my Monday? No! That's distraction. It's not what we're talking about. We are united around the name of Jesus. He's a holy and merciful God. He is our message. Because distraction leads to division, but ultimately division, it leads to destruction. I'm thankful for God's grace. I'm not afraid of destruction, but I believe the principle stands that we must be united, that we are the church. We can't run unless you play your part. We can't get to the finish line on time when God wants us to get there unless we are all running together. We are the body of Christ. And we are called to be united and project God's holiness and God's mercy. Do you believe it today? Come on, can we give God a big round of applause? You guys are amazing today.
Our community at VU Church aims to reach our city and beyond with the life-transforming message of Jesus. Thank you for your support. If you want to further connect with us, you can find us online at vuchurch.com or on any social media platform at VU Church.